Right, at the beginning. Me, my, is this going to be on it or not?
Me, my, mo, yeah. Me, my, mo, mo.
Happy, happy Halloween. Back Universal.
Hey. Right, hello, on, everybody. What do you mean, come on, then?
Come on, let's turn this.
Dick.
Let's do it. I'm so excited.
Shut up.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. I'm Chris.
I'm the Craig of Mendes.
I am known as Jack.
Oh, it's that thing again.
I've done that for
so straight
a long
in
time.
Yeah, I wish you wouldn't.
To the...
The third film in our Halloween trio, okay. Trilogy,
I'm
Troika.
This
and,
is what?
And does this mean...
Are we doing the Devil Rides Out?
Is that a bit of Jurassic Jazz?
No, that was Troika Jazz, but maybe later on we'll do some jazz later on.
No, this is the last of our three.
Are we doing the Devil Rides Out after this?
No, that was done ages ago, remember?
Right.
This is the third of them.
Oh, so
John
we've
Carpenter's
done,
Prince
of Darkness.
John Carpenter's
which is due for publication, I believe.
And straight in, we're into
Halloween
a classic.
All right, I see.
A classic.
That's a nice shot.
Carpenter trope coming up.
Yep.
Lovely wide screen, a woody day, and a man
with a moustache,
a big fuck off moustache.
Look at that.
Yeah, he does that, doesn't he?
He's got quite a perky set of man boobs there as well. She's dead now.
Check the pics. Ooh.
So who's...
She actually is dead, that
is
actress.
She?
Yeah.
Is she?
She was also famous...
So we can't kill her?
Yeah. No, we can't. She, is it Lisa Blount her name is? She was also in An Officer and a Gentleman. Remember, she's the other girl that's
Deborah
Winger's pal.
She is, yeah.
She's really good in that, actually.
Yeah.
She was a good actor.
Not a great film, I don't think, though, for some
No,
gentleman.
It's a weird film. I can't...
Yeah.
It's too grim.
Oh, yeah, Lisa Blount.
It's too grim.
Yeah, it's not
to
a
be
nice
a romantic
film.
Comedy. Because that whole thing about her dumping the guy and him killing himself is dreadful. Yeah, they're not.
Yeah, no, absolutely, I agree with you. It's,
The grim bits are too grim, like his dad's life in Philippines, fucking horrible.
But it's a bit like...
So this priest has died.
Saturday Night Fever, which
is
a horrible film.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And all everyone remembers is the dancing.
Yeah, but otherwise the character's dreadful.
Yeah. And another film where in the second film they've completely forgotten who he is.
Yeah. Here we go.
So set the scene then.
The priest has died.
Why has he died?
Well, all we know is he's dead, and Donald Pleasence is troubled by this.
Donald Pleasence. So why are we doing this film? Craig Williams.
I'm always being asked for this. Okay, a number of reasons. It's Halloween. We have a habit now of doing Halloween specials. 2 years ago, the first one was Ghost Watch.
Ghosty Watch.
Which was, of course, massively inspired by the great Nigel Neal.
And Pamela Lee.
Last year...
it never gets old, does it?
I didn't think it was going to come. I didn't think it was going to happen quite so
early
in this film.
It deserves a BAFTA just on its own, that, doesn't it?
Okay.
The late Pam Early.
A wank before work.
Okay.
That would be the crossword clue. A wank before work. Pam Early. Oh, look.
Bance.
So there was that connection. Last year we did with Mark Miller. He's great.
Halloween.
We love Kingsman.
We love his work.
We did Season of the Witch.
I think we did that live, didn't we? That was the whole point of it.
Landis, Max Landis.
He is our Max Landis, yeah. we will call him names until he comes back and plays again. And this time, Dirk Blocker. The great Dirk Blocker. So this year we thought we would do this. Quintessential 1998 is a very quintessential Carpenter beginning as well. The intercutting of the titles with the action like this.
Am I
the font
right,
and everything is very, very 80s Carpenter.
Oh, the font, definitely.
Yeah.
Am I right, Craig, in saying that actually this is, I consider this quite late canon.
Yeah, Carpenter. It's late in his run.
When's this
run
then?
This is 87.
Okay.
I think we've discussed this before. The great run of his films, which I think is pretty much unparalleled in modern cinema, is Dark Star, Assault on Precinct 13. We should put that out again. That is what your man calls it.
Yep.
He
doesn't look like a science student.
Doesn't,
that,
no.
That doesn't look right. I don't mean Victor.
He's the bear from BG and the Bear. So, hang on a minute. Dark Star, Assault on Precinct 13, Halloween, The Fog, Escape from New York, The Thing, and then you have Christine.
I like Christine,
but it's still within that. He's the most annoying character in this film, the wee guy there. And then you've got Big Trouble in Little China. Uh-huh.
Which he's also in.
Yep, which is fantastic.
Which also Victor Wong's also.
And then you've got Starman, which I think is a wonderful film. And then you've got this, and then you've got They Live. In all of that, The weakest one is Christine, because it's a kind of studio film.
Right.
But it's still a really enjoyable film. The other run of those films is genuinely fantastic to me.
But, in my wee mind, I still always consider this as being quite a late Carpenter.
I'm agreeing with you, yeah. Because I
almost see it as almost being separate somehow.
Well, because he hasn't really made many films in a decade now. I don't think he's made anything in a decade.
Why has he not done?
Too rich. I think also...
needs more time for
He made a series of not great films in a row. In the Mouth of Madness in 1995, which is a great movie.
Okay.
But the films before that, which are like
Vampire.
Oh, it's Vampires. There's the
Ghosts
Escape
of,
from L.A.
Oh, Escape from
Ghosts
LA
of Mars. And that terrible one with Chevy Chase. The Invisible Man film.
Yeah.
They're not great. Actually, I saw him recently. There was an interview with him.
Although I think the...
We'll talk more about him as we go. But they said to him, would you like to make a film now? And he said, God, no.
Yeah.
He said, I'm nearly 70. Exactly, that's what he said. He said, I'm not going to stay up all night filming because most of my films are in the dark.
Although I think it's fair to say, hello, lawyers, that from everything you read, the Visible Man one was kind of hamstrung by Chevy Chase.
Yeah, Chevy Chase is a fairly dreadful person.
Yeah.
Did he do that film with Liam Neeson, Dead Man, or? Cool.
Darkman. No, that's Sam Raimi. Great movie, actually.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's a fantastic film.
Yeah.
I keep meaning to show that to the
which
son
is
of here,
hundreds of sequels.
Yeah, absolutely.
All built around Durant.
That's right.
Is it Durant?
Robert Durant.
Who I always thought was massively entertaining because he's Durant, the baddie, is played by the guy who was the sort of office, as they would say in America, retard in LA Law.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who used to push around the files and things.
But you know who is the fucking dead spit of? Nick Cohen. The journalist. Especially when he's fat Nick Cohen.
Yes.
Not thin Nick Cohen, but he looks like he's an ill cat. But he looks thin. When he's fat, he's the double of that guy.
Always the fool, it'd be a full moon.
So yeah, but we mentioned moustaches. Fulsome moustaches are another
trope
of Carpenter.
Mm. As indeed are headbands.
Yeah,
the lassie who went by on the bike was wearing a headband.
This guy, his character's quite creepy in this film, actually.
His
cat is
but
creepy.
You see, but this touches on something that I mentioned earlier, but we won't go into in any great depth. But it's just interesting that at a certain time, you could have films that had young people in them who would hit on each other, and they'd be like, "Oh, come on, sweetheart," and they'd be like, "Oh, no," which is all now seen as incredibly rapey, but at the time was just seen as it's just young people fucking about because that's what young people do. Which I suggest has something in it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I like is that
pregnancy?
Is that a dot matrix printer?
I think I think that's the sort of I had that sort of typewriter when I was a student. It had a sort of tiny screen there.
That's right.
And you would write your line, and then when you hit return, it printed the line out.
Yeah, my mum had
and you could go back and write over it. It was good.
When I was at Cynthia,
my parents bought me it for my Christmas when I was in, I think, second year at university.
Yeah. When I was in Cynthia at school, in our art class, we used to play a game which was we would play guess which letter I'm printing, and we'd make the noise of a printer. Shall I do it for you now? And you have to guess. No, it's great.
What school was this?
Is this
Prince of Allocating?
Sorry, Kinross High School.
How many were in the 6 year? Was it you and some other fucking spod called Liam Benny Jones?
It was me, Graham, and my now deceased friend Damon.
He was a good guy.
He was a good guy. Can I do one for you? See if you can get it. Because you think you can't get it, but then you can.
Go on.
Right, here we go. Guess the letter. I'll give you a clue. It's capital. Are you ready?
Is that the one letter?
That's it. What letter was that?
No idea.
I can do it for you again.
E.
No, it's not E.
Oh sorry.
No, it's not.
Why do you think that's easy?
Okay, here we go.
Is that Morse?
No.
B.
No.
Z. C.
No, it's T.
D.
X.
It's T. It's obviously T.
Why is it
obviously T? There's like listeners that are screaming at you.
You're born for radio, pal.
No, do you know what the listeners are screaming?
T. Can't.
Yeah.
Can't.
C. You could do another one if you want.
Look at this. You've got some fucking fine actors here. So, of course, these two had been in lots of Carpenter films by then.
Indeed.
Because Donald Pleasence is in Escape from New York and Halloween.
Victor Lair has been in Big Trouble.
Which is a great movie.
Now, I want to say something. Oh, this is really dancing around the cauldron of racism.
Right,
or,
okay.
Or unacceptable orientalism.
Okay. You moved on from rape apology to dancing.
I'm
around.
Covering the whole waterfront tonight.
Okay, here we go.
Which is the
theme. Later on, 1939. What are the others getting wrong? Written by Martin Quatermass,
yeah.
By the way. We'll
yeah,
talk about that.
If this is
all right, is that a pseudonym?
It's John Carpenter.
If in retrospect.
Is it Nigel Neal?
No, it's John Carpenter.
No.
Right, okay.
If in retrospect what you're saying is too racist, we'll cut out and I'll just do another letter.
Okay.
No,
I'll do B.
It's only because I want to touch on the great triumvirate of Asian actors in the 80s.
Okay.
Pat Morita,
okay.
Yeah.
Victor Hong,
uh-huh.
And Victor Wong.
Right.
Uh-huh. Who's the one that's in Die Hard with the long hair and he's also in Lethal Weapon?
Oh, no, I'm talking about like older,
all right, okay.
Established,
okay.
You know, like almost, in a lot of cases, above the line actors. Because you got
more than
no. So that's
look at the back of that telly, though.
Why's that all yeah. Got?
Oh,
mind
you,
that's all comes to
old tellies. You can have got a whole fucking ant farm.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, maybe you can look in, you could look into a telly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I used to quite like that, and it had that lovely smell.
Well, you
yeah,
never hear in this heist.
No, in the Beast.
When I had
just before we became friends,
before you saw the largest television in the world,
your big CRT.
Did you see that?
Oh yeah,
you must have seen that. That was some fucking telly.
Yeah, because I took your
rugby team to move out
a lot longer than you've been friends with Craig. A lot longer.
Yeah, but
yeah, that would make sense.
But like
yeah.
Roy Batty, the light that shines twice as brightly brights half as long.
Anyway, come on, you were talking about Asian actors.
Yeah, so that's Victor Wong.
Okay.
Or is it Victor Hong? See, this is when it starts.
This is when it gets.
This is when it gets troublesome. That's why I flagged it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pat Morita is in the Karate Kid.
Oh, I thought that was that boy.
Yeah. And Pat Morita was also in.
No, that was the guy from Cagney and Lacey that was in the guy with the shirt off.
No,
he is in the Karate Kid though.
Yeah, no, but he's Victor in Cagney and Lacey.
Aye.
No,
I'm ready to print another letter here, guys.
Anyway,
which one of the Victors is he then? Is he Victor Wrong?
Okay, here we go. Meep, meep. Meep, meep.
Pat Morita is in the Karate Kid.
Meep, meep.
But the two Victors.
That's me.
The two.
See, when you do that, you look so fucking like Beaker. Because of your big fucking Beaker napper.
Sorry, come on, carry on, Chris.
The two Victors are in big trouble.
Okay.
Facing each
other. Oh, that's right. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just interesting. There are now no big
no.
Asian actors.
But as I have pointed out before, however, John Carpenter now looks like the baddie from Big Trouble.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, he looks like Egg Shen, but the
yeah.
one in the chair.
Yeah, absolutely.
No,
yeah.
That's Egg Shen. Lo Pan.
Yeah, he's a double. He's
Lo
a double
Pan
of
in the chair, he goes, ha ha ha.
Yeah, he's a double of him, yeah. So the closest we have is a white man
a
who's
really
from Kentucky. He's morphed into him.
But the. So, I mean, obviously, there are action. There are like people like Jackie Chan, I suppose,
yes,
and Jet Li
yeah.
and all that. But there are no, like, just actors who are Asian and big. And I say, therefore, hat tip to the 80s.
Absolutely. Now, this is important, Jack.
Exposition.
What's happened here?
I don't know what's going on.
Well, I'm telling you, they're in this abandoned church.
What's this film called?
They're in this abandoned church, right?
Printed on, it's okay.
Sorry, that was new.
Prince of what? And then they're...
okay, they're in this church.
The priest, or the Monsignor, whatever
yeah,
he is,
priest,
Donald
Pleasance,
has brought
died, yeah.
this particle physicist down to
okay.
show him something.
Because they had done a debate
uh-huh.
on television
uh-huh.
about God and science and whatever.
Okay.
So he knows him, and he said, look, I need you to come and see this thing. I've just
okay.
discovered this. It's called
all
the
right.
Brotherhood of Sleep. This thing is locked in this church. What the fuck? Come and have a look.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
And how long has it been in this church for?
Ages!
Yeah.
So...
as my friend Jim, who we work with,
mm-hmm.
said this week when he was asked, when I said we're doing this, she said, "Hi, Prince of Darkness. Is that the one with the thermos full of devil juice?"
Yes,
I just said,
yes, Jim,
it's actually
yeah,
a
yeah.
really good description of the film, yeah.
So
how close was Donald Pleasance to being dead then when he did this film?
Oh,
when
no,
he died?
Oh, no,
so
no,
we
no,
well,
yeah,
he died.
He died in
the sort of
yeah.
mid to late
90s,
I think,
yeah,
Donald
I
Pleasance.
Was,
yeah.
No, he
had
a good
year.
He wasn't terribly
was about
old 82.
When he died. I think he was about 80.
Was he?
Yeah.
He kind of looked the same for a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Good old Donald Pleasance.
A great man. An old Labour man as well, proper Labour
yeah.
Party man back in his day. And
was he?
Yeah, he was. Until his death, he was a... So was Robert Morley, which was
Robert yeah,
Morley.
Yeah, I think he did that just out of beastliness.
Yeah, absolutely, villainy. This guy on the left is another.
I don't mind him in this.
He's
I think his character.
Morley.
I think he plays what his character is meant to be really well.
I like the fact
really
that
well.
He basically is always going on about how he's out to get some coffee stuff like that, which I quite like.
But then
about
he's
him.
Also about, you know, he's only doing the science because he can then do a big job and
absolutely.
Make scads of cash, you know. So actually, I think he plays it quite well.
Yeah, I mean, the character's meant to be a dick, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But again, it is actually.
She looks like
one of the things.
She looks like a mum. She's wearing mom jeans and everything.
I think she's quite sexy.
Long butts of the
70s. She has, it's true. Yeah, she's got kind of tousled hair. I like her.
She's ballsy.
There's a bit of for a film from 1987. Mm-hmm. It is, and fair play to John Carpenter, one of the world's great liberals. It's a really diverse cast.
Yeah, no, there's no way you could complain about this film being, you know, whitewashed or.
No. Or he's always been a good.
Oh, Clint Shaven.
He also. I remember him. On
bigotry.
He said an interesting thing in the commentary for the thing, which was that he said, because it was an all male cast. He said, and you know, crews are largely male back in those days. He said, they were filming up in Norway, I think it was, for all the sort of snow stuff. It was an all male crew as well. He said he fucking hated it. He said it was really unpleasant.
Mm.
But it got more unpleasant, he said. He said the work was all getting done when Deborah Hill came in, who was the producer, because all the men started acting up to impress the one woman there.
Yes, yeah.
And they all just became dicks.
Well, I was
going to
say, especially since they've been months out in the snow.
Aye, absolutely. He said they all became absolute arseholes.
But there's also something to be said for that. Now, don't get me wrong.
He's about to say something else.
I am about to say something really bad.
I'm just putting another piece of paper into my printer.
Because a room or workplace that is all women is fucking horrendous. However, there is nothing worse than a sort of I don't mean a stag night for a wedding, but just like you know what we used to just call a stag night.
Yeah.
Like an all male dance club or something. Which is just fucking horrible. Yeah. It's really depressing.
But I do think an all-male workplace is even worse because most men are fucking
unspeakable.
See, I don't
unspeakable. Think... the only way I would disagree with that is they say it's as bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, it's just awful.
Because, unfortunately, not all men are like us, Steve.
No, they're not as enlightened.
Because we're shit on Olympics. Which is basically that we're shit at football.
I also like the fact that he completely fucks this up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to come on here and completely fucks the whole thing up.
So, Craig, do you know any raps?
It's because she can't take her eyes off.
Do I know any raps off by heart?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah,
do you want to bet in it?
You bet.
Then you better sit in it. You bet. Now don't fret. Get set. Are you ready?
I've not. You bet.
You bet.
Sake.
Okay, so we've done rap
music.
Quite like rap music.
8.5
Come on then, let's hear some.
What rap music can I give you?
Come, we could do some beatboxing for you.
Three. It's a magic number. No, I'm more melodic than that. I'm De La Soul because I'm
not
like one
not
of those.
Rap,
it is. It's absolute proper hip hop.
That's De La Soul.
Come on,
three. That's the magic number. Yes, it is.
That's
the magic number. What does it all mean? Somewhere in this hip hop community, De La Soul Posse consists of three, and that's the magic number.
What does it all mean?
Yeah, that's a good record.
You bet.
That was playing.
Why is there a picture of a quizzical giraffe on the wall? I've never noticed that before.
Why wouldn't there be?
That's the only answer.
That's like being in the house for me. We've got. I was listening to on my way back from Aberdeen.
That's a good song.
Last week when I was up visiting
like
the hospital
song.
Up there.
Is that my Paul McCartney?
You dick.
What?
On my way back from Aberdeen.
Oh, God, I was listening in the car as these journeys are always made better by. Absolute 80s and absolute 90s radio.
Available for sponsorship.
Yeah, absolutely, which are fantastic. Uh-huh. And have the best Matt Berry promos.
They do Matt Berry, didn't they? Yeah.
The best one being Absolute 80s paying Howard Jones's mortgage. It really made me laugh.
Now, so, I like particularly. I'm actually going to talk about film for a minute.
Yeah, we're trying to tell you what was happening, but then you got us into the mapping.
I like the fact that the church is situated where it is.
Explain.
We're looking for the patacons.
Yeah. Everything's been built up around it.
No, I just like the fact that it's suburban.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, in the middle of nowhere. Mm. It's not like a church out in the fucking the middle of the Texan desert.
No,
or
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
It's squarely in a suburban or an urban, I should say.
Yeah, and the area has been gentrified, and that's like this little corner of it.
Yes,
The church looks like the area in Assault on Precinct 13.
Oh, yes,
and
so
it's the only
bit
that's kind of left of it.
Where's
it's
set
in City
I
City,
I think it's
America.
Los Angeles or something, you know. It's California.
It's in the big city. We're going to blow this town apart.
I like how he's got a bed in his room there.
Mm.
safe looking like a church.
Well, this is in the church, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
there's a thermos full of devil juice.
It kind of suggests to me though that having the, because I have actually thought about this, that having the bed in the room is because it's the only room that he's prepared to be in.
Yeah, sure, yeah, absolutely.
So he's too scared to go elsewhere.
Is he?
Like he's too scared to go into another bedroom.
Basically, they've worked out that the thermos in the basement has basically the devil.
Right.
They haven't got quite that far yet.
No.
But that's what they do work out. We'll probably be talking
why
about
why do they think it's bad stuff rather than good stuff?
Because the Coptic, Katie Coptic, Coptic on TV texts tells them that the evil has been trapped in it for 2,000 years.
Oh, okay.
And then it does a cabaret.
Yeah. Coptic on TV! Ho ho! I'm quite funny, I'm not Janice Ian. Sorry, they've had a pump.
Yep. The card trick worked.
He's caught some flies in his
moustache. Have a bath with me after the show.
Oh yes, so we've seen some flies already, haven't we?
He's poking into our back.
Yeah, and the old sort of trampy woman has got wee beasties on her skin, and that's a big motif.
Okay.
It doesn't look very comfortable there, doesn't it? It looks like it's too warm in the morning.
You know what he's hoping for? Palm early.
Oh, cover yourself up.
This actor played one of the Simons in Simon and Simon. This is saying something.
Which,
is this okay?
Which Simon did he play?
One of the Simons. The one.
Hang on a second. That's just.
What's wrong?
There's a technical hitch, folks.
Yeah, it says this card's fault. So
but the other one's right, still recording, isn't it?
Well, that's fine. So well, let's just carry on then, will we?
Don't give the magic away.
That's all right. I can.
They're seen behind the curtain, Jack.
Yeah.
There's a wee cup of tea. You're going to spill that ginger.
You should say, you should move in and go, your breath's fucking honking, by the way.
Have a cup of tea. Yeah, because he's just sort of got up, isn't he?
Well, both of them are. She'll be stinking.
No, but I mean, at least she's still in bed. But he's like got up. He's got no excuse for not having had a wee wash.
She looks terrible, like someone that used to work in the hospital, but we'll talk about that afterwards. Those are proper sort of diner cups that he's got there, aren't they?
Yeah.
Those ones that have got the nice shape to them.
When I used to have a shop, a long time ago, I imported a box of those diner cups.
Oh, nice, really, yeah.
From a company. And
did you sell them?
Yes. Branded.
You used to be able to
sticker and logo, I should say, and then they were incredibly difficult to get. I had to order them like seconds from a company because it was the only way I couldn't order like 5,000 at a go.
Sure.
And they had to come through Ireland or something. It was incredibly difficult to get them, and they sold like hotcakes. Clearly should have charged more.
Yeah.
Is that Alice Cooper?
It is Alice Cooper. Well
yes,
done.
Yeah, well done.
We should point out that the film is scored also by John Carpenter.
Right. Tell me, Craig, you're the proper horror fan in the room.
So be here.
Why Alice Cooper? Is there a reason?
I guess he's a big rock fan.
Mm-hmm.
John Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
He is good in it. He doesn't have much to do.
But he has the best scene.
He does have the best scene, which we'll come to later. But
he was very horror rock, though, wasn't he?
He was. And also, he does the smart thing when casting a famous singer, which is don't ask too much of him in the acting.
Yeah, no,
stage.
I know, absolutely.
So he's really just there to look like Alice Cooper.
Yeah. He's here for people to go,
Alice Cooper.
But he does have the best scene in the film, which you'll easily discern.
Was this around the time that Poison was a hit, I reckon?
I think it would have been,
That's a great song, Poison.
It's a brilliant song, yeah.
Well, that's the thing about listening to Absolute 80s in particular, is how great the 80s music is, which we've talked, I think, probably about before. People always decry the 80s, but the music was
giant files.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
Wow.
I think it might be strip lighting. How much good music there was that you've forgotten about, or that you didn't really rate at the time.
Mm.
I've now, at this, I must admit, even listening in the car, when Tapao comes on, you think,
they're actually
better than I remembered them being. She did a bit of rap.
Yeah, because China in Her Hand.
Soul has got to be rapping.
Oh, there.
But China in Her Hand was just that song that wouldn't fuck off from
China. Oh, I know, absolutely. He looks like a sort of sturdy actor, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's
a sturdy actor of many a film.
That's a lot of gear they've shifted in there on the show.
So, what are they doing then? They're trying to do something.
They're trying to find out what this shit is and how it works. What is this flagon of devil juice?
They brought all this, all these different people from different disciplines.
Yeah, it's a multidisciplinary.
Why? See, he looks more like a university teacher.
He does, yeah.
Why, when, rather, did Alice Cooper move from being the band Alice Cooper to just Alice Cooper?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because it was a band.
Did they not have a nasty split or something?
I don't know much about them, to be honest.
Yeah. Because it was because you only noticed because you he only became somebody I knew about through things like Poison.
Yeah.
So then
and then Wayne's World that she turns up in in that scene. Yeah.
So but then he's just like that's Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Isn't it funny? He's called Alice.
Yes. That's
but then you know you move on, and you have you know and you start watching late at night, you know, old grey whistle test compilations and things that should make you realise why you never watched it when it went out in the first place.
It's very boring.
David Hepworth and Bob Harris boring for Britain.
Yeah. And
Mark Ellen.
Oh yeah.
Trying to pretend to be like a sort of mixture of Tony Blair and Paul McCartney.
That used to freak me out actually.
He's really boring, man.
Anyway, so then you would see like there was you know, Alice Cooper did a set on it, but it was the band that Alice Cooper. What's going on there?
What's his real name? Vince somebody, isn't he?
Oh, no, don't tell me that. He's not even called Alice.
His name is Vince.
Vince Cooper.
Vince Furlan or something like that.
He's Gordo Cooper.
The big Cooper C.
He's Tommy Cooper.
So these dudes here...
They're being affected somehow.
...enthralled to this big flask.
So nobody quite knows why yet. Okay. But somehow it's drawing... people, I mean, the suggestion in it is that I think that it has an effect on a strong effect, even when weak, on people who are mentally disturbed.
I see, okay.
Now, remember when Martin said that all the people had names named after something in Prometheus?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Actually,
prisons.
I think in
was it not prisons at one point?
Is that what he said?
Oh. I think in this one, everyone is, and I'm annoyed now that I've only just noticed it because someone was called Wyndham. I think everyone in it is named after a science fiction or horror writer.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Jesus wouldn't have said that, would he? Aye, Jesus. Jesus would have said, me!
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like that.
There's Donald Pleasance in this fuck-off limo.
Yeah.
There he goes.
Yeah, and bitches. That's in the church of proper bar.
Yeah, bitches. I used to be pals with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not... pals with him anymore for anything that I was aware of. He just decided not to be pals with me anymore. But
getting that a lot.
But he was at nursing school with Donald Pleasance's daughter.
Wow.
And Angela. Spoke to him on the phone.
The lovely Angela, who's the actor.
Is it not Melissa or something?
Well, Angela Pleasance is the actor that's in From Beyond the Grave, and she was in.
I think she's just a...
It's full of shite.
Yeah. I think she's just a nurse.
All right, okay. You must have been more than one then.
It was back in the days when so this would have been the early 80s, I suppose, or mid 80s. And it was back in the days when people who were in their training used to be like provided accommodation.
Mm.
So there were dormitories and whatever, and they all stayed together. So they used to go out a lot and all that.
Uh-huh.
And he phoned up because she was staying at home one weekend and said, come on out, we're all going up the town. And the phone went like, hello. He was like, hello, Mr. Pleasance. I'd like to speak to you, Angela, or whatever it is. And he went, I'll go and get her.
Like,
but unfortunately, never actually went to the house.
And he tried to walk across the room to pick up a pencil and jumped into the wall.
Which was actually was a bad miss. Why would you not want to go right now?
I know, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So Craig, tell me about Donald Pleasance.
Faster and faster.
The actor.
I love him. Yeah. Why would you not love Donald Pleasance? He's one of those actors in my family. I think like guys like Freddie Jones that my dad always loved, and whatever he turned up and he'd say, "Oh, brilliant! I love him."
Yeah.
You know,
mark of quality. Actually.
Yeah. So Freddie Jones was one of them. He was one of them. Probably Walter Matthau.
Oh yeah.
I think my dad never had any time for. Guess who my dad never had any time for?
Jack Lemmon.
No,
Paul Newman.
Let's just say he went watch a film.
No, I can sympathise.
Paul Bartle Kay.
Would you not?
Nah, he was never that fond of. There's a great bit in that Lindsay Anderson film. Is that all there is that he did for the hospital in Scotland? The director's chair thing. That is a bit when he's eating his breakfast and his Irish maid is cleaner. She's chatting away to him, and he's got time out there, and he says, "What do you think of Michael Caine?" She goes, "Oh, I like him. I like him in some things. I think he's good. What do you think of him?" He goes, "No, he's a good actor." She goes, "You don't like him?" He goes, "No, I don't like his hair." And I kind of know what he's getting at, because that's when he had that sort of wavy ear.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
you see him really fighting with in Sleuth. I don't know if I ever mentioned that. I like the film Sleuth.
Yeah, Sleuth, the film with Michael Caine.
Yeah, but later on in it, he's trying
he's
to
got
get
a lot of room.
Fucking
yeah.
hair down. Yeah.
Yeah. Here,
so everybody's been down to see it. Now some of them have gone upstairs and they're all like, what the fuck?
Okay.
What we got into the shit. So as you can see, now this is where it starts to get interesting. The thing it most resembles to me here at this stage is the stone tape.
I was going to say, this is quite nudging
yeah.
the other,
yeah.
isn't it?
So probably Michael Brighter isn't around to be in this.
Absolutely.
Imagine Michael Brighter.
Right, come on, move on. We're going to make this work.
There's just some little shade.
Michael yes. Bates turning up. Not
blacked out. Green text on
yeah,
the
yeah, absolutely.
Screen. That's probably
differential equations from 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So,
but we didn't have those equations then.
Do you invent differential equations?
Well, I was going to say you don't really
invent
do
them.
Really,
you
just
know.
Work them out.
You work out.
Somebody else could have worked them out.
Yeah.
It's not like they didn't have maths 2,000
exactly,
years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Maths are there, really.
The,
aren't
the
they?
Reaction
they
for
them.
That should have been, my God, somebody worked out differential
yeah.
equations 2,000 years ago. Oh, you fucked that one up, John.
Mr. Martin Quatermass. So that's who the screenplay is credited to.
Wow.
But
oh,
it is, of course, the worms on Mankey. It is John Carpenter. Ironic.
No, that's
so
not
what's,
ironic.
What are they? What's going on here? What are they
Stakes
deciphering?
Like.
Craig, what are they deciphering?
Come on, can I just finish this bit here that about John Carpenter? This, of course, came after Halloween 3 Season of the Witch when he had the massive fallout
oh, right.
with
explains
Nigel
that.
Neal.
Ah.
Yes. So I suspect but calling himself Martin Quatermass about it was just to wind him up.
Right. Is John Carpenter quite an askable? Because Nigel Neal got on with almost anybody.
Yeah.
I know, it's hard to believe.
The lovable
I,
Nigel Neal.
He was known for his benevolence.
Very difficult to believe.
He was basically like G.R. Hartley.
Incredible.
Like, oh, hello, I'm Nigel
oh,
I'm Neal.
Sorry.
Oh, you want me to write a little film for you? That'd be marvellous. I can't wait. My name? Nigel Neal.
Thank you. Oh.
Tickling that wee boy's bum in the world of the original advert.
Oh, you want Pixies
not
and Goblins
Nigel
in it? Not a problem.
I love Pixies and Goblins.
Alice Cooper, I think she's marvellous.
Well, this guy does a bit of Jurassic Jazz.
He does, yeah. There he goes.
Who is this dude?
He's Mr. Heart Attack.
Okay.
Do you remember when this film came out, right?
Oh, it's ironic, Tom and Jerry.
We would not have been able to buy pizzas like that in this country.
Yeah, it's true.
You could have gone to Pizza Hut and eaten a pizza,
yeah.
and they were shite.
I'm not even
yeah,
sure
but then,
done that.
I reckon the pizza... I remember the first time that I was able to sort of get pizzas near where I lived and whatnot was around about 1990.
Yeah.
When I saw Goodfellas and I was fucking dying for a pizza or something afterwards.
Right.
I went through a period that I couldn't watch things like The Godfather that went to eat fucking loads of pasta. But like, and also in this country, Chinese food is never sold in those cartons.
In those little cartons, yeah.
Which was, of course, a Cliff Bar.
It's a real
yeah.
bad miss now. You think somebody by
yeah.
now would have brought them back in?
But
not when they replaced the long tray.
You can't replace the long tray.
Like a long tray.
Well, that's a nasty Bruce Hen. You get some Savlon.
But I don't think you're a Chinese food. I had a really nice Chinese meal in Washington recently.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. It featured broccoli quite heavily, believe it or not.
Oh,
that's
no,
Harrington.
I like one of my favourite things about
that's
Chinese.
Pure Harrington.
If you make a home stir fry,
aye,
I like to get the broccoli, get the florets
mm-hmm.
off it. Like, try and get as much of the stem as
yep.
you can. Peel it.
Yeah.
Slice it.
Yeah.
Best bit of a stir
nice,
fry.
Yeah.
Nice.
These were nice florets, crunchy, crunchy as oh, it was good with prawns. It was lovely.
Two apples, a cup of coffee, and a fag.
Yin and yang, yin and yang.
So what were they doing?
Oh no, you're going to miss the crucifixion here.
What they were doing there was they are translating the stuff in that big book
in order to try and make sense of it.
Because as I say, it's
he can't he stay the night.
Okay.
And look what he's found. A crucified pigeon.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not double taking anybody. What's that all about?
Actually, one of the great things about this film is that these scenes are really fucking disturbing.
Oh, no, I shit myself when I saw this the
yeah.
first time. I was fucking terrified.
Because again,
one of the few films
uh-huh.
that I've seen on first viewing.
Watch this.
Where I've been absolutely terrified.
Yeah, I can
when
get
I
that.
It.
So when did you?
Because again,
it?
It's
no,
a mishmash of Stone Tape and Assault on Precinct 13.
Yeah, yeah,
God.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
I've
this classic siege thing that he does.
Well, thank
Carpenter.
You.
Thank you very much.
No, this is horrible. I got it out in video.
Did you? Okay.
And I have no idea why I was let. you know, that I don't even know why the shop let me have it.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's so brutal. There you go.
Is that the scene?
See the blood flying out the back and everything?
Yeah.
And I love this as well, the way he does this, where he just... Beep, there you go.
Fucking brilliant, yeah.
Horrible. It's
beautifully lit as well.
It's the thing that freaks me out, which does in a lot of, you know, well, not a lot of films, but I mean, when it does freak me out, it's the casual where it, you know, where it's so casual, there's no regard for the person or anything like that. A couple of good examples of that because then it actually could be you.
Well, that's why it's not a film that I'm fond of. I admire it more than like it, but that's why the Texas Chainsaw Massacre's nerve jangling. Like,
just
walking out and batting on the
That's the thing.
It's fucking horrible.
Out.
Yeah. Because another good example of it is in Fargo when he tries to leave and he runs up behind him with an axe and it cuts, but you shit it because you don't expect that to escalate as much.
No,
as
that's very true. But I think the difference there is at least there's a motive for it.
Sure.
The thing that freaks me out is because if you were in that position. Because like in Fargo, you were like, well, I wouldn't have done that. So
no,
I wouldn't be
enough,
there.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do that to me. But in those circumstances, you think, fuck, they would do that to me.
Yeah.
Then you could talk your way out of it.
I say, yes.
You could say, that's nothing to do with me.
Got you.
I'm nothing to do with that. I haven't touched your fucking ginger ball full of spew.
So when did you first see this?
Very boring to say again. The late John, my very good friend.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see it in the cinema, although I would have been about 16 when it came out.
Uh-huh.
And this would have been an 18 in those days,
yeah.
though.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't see it there, but John got out on video not long after it had been out.
Yeah,
so it wasn't a big hit. You know?
It was not.
No,
yeah, I knew nothing about
it. Was the
it
time when he was
out.
Starting to go on a decline and his right. films really weren't... Not in terms of the as we say...
Yes.
He's a big lad, isn't he?
Yeah,
just in terms of the... you know, his box office
yeah,
had really started to tail off then.
Yes.
So it came out on video quite quickly. John got it out, watched it, said, this is fucking brilliant.
Did you go into his house or did he come
yeah,
to
he stayed at his parents' then because he was still at school. But
okay.
So it'd be about within a year of it coming out. Going around to his house
did
and
you
watching it.
Vianetta?
No.
Hmm.
No, it's not fucking Christmas. What are you talking about?
Around about 10 o'clock, we might have had a bit of cheese on toast with
it's
a bit of...
it's not lunchtime now,
what do you call it? A bit of beetroot on it.
No, I think I only rented this out because we had not long before seen Escape from New York.
Sure, right.
Because I knew nothing about the film at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the cover freaked me out a bit.
Yeah, the sort of screaming
yeah,
face.
It's a sort of face screaming, but like slid...
No, that's
oh,
not
no,
the
that's
cover.
Not it.
No,
it's
a different
cover
in the cinema.
It had
it's like a
distorted
like
a face
green face
right.
that sort of slid sideways.
Oh, yes.
You know, like
that
one of those about. Pictures that you see in a
yeah.
fucking you know, escalator.
Yes.
And
in that kind of green colour.
And
scene.
I have no idea why they even let me rent it. Unless somebody
they
just
did it.
They just did then, didn't they?
No,
they just said, there you go.
I don't know. I think it kind of... It would have been from the Azad video.
So she's well, yes, that's why then.
No,
Azad
because
anybody.
There was a because most of the time there was a woman there, who was really strict,
uh-huh.
and
okay.
she must have been off or something.
So the container was buried in the Middle East, by the, and said it was the father of Satan who buried it.
Yeah.
Oh.
He buried his son in the container.
Wow.
Someone tried to erase this section, so his son was Satan.
Wow.
He's good in this.
This is this period when he was also quite obsessed with things like quantum physics.
Mm.
Did you ever see that sort of horror cafe thing, or what it was called, that was on telly?
No, what was that?
It was on BBC Two on a Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
I think I've not spoken about this before.
No,
I'm always
I didn't
worried
think
that
so.
And it was set up as a sort of 2 hour long sort of after dinner. Or through dinner discussion with a bunch of horror writers. I think Ramsay Campbell was there.
Oh,
Clive Barker.
Yes,
Clive
I think
Barker
I did see
that.
I remember Clive Barker.
Yeah, because Clive Barker was...
Yeah.
But he was quite
obnoxious
on him, wasn't
he? Was, yeah,
because
he's an incredibly pompous man.
Yes, yeah.
He says, I write fantastic literature
yes,
and all this sort
right.
of stuff.
Yes.
And, yeah, and...
he writes fantastic literature.
Yeah.
About slugs coming through tabs.
No, he doesn't write that kind of thing. He was better then. Clive Barker, when he wrote the books of Blood, they're fantastic.
Oh, that's
like
that's
subsequent
horrible.
Rubbish.
So Horror
yeah.
Cafe, yeah, go on.
And John Carpenter was on it, and they have to sort of write a story between them over the course of the meal.
That rings a bell, yeah.
And John Carpenter stuck it off in a direction of quantum mechanics and things.
Right. Now, when you saw this with your pal John, did you know a lot about it before you put the video
you know,
in the
yeah,
machine?
Yeah, you know, I'd probably read about it in Video Review, which Video World, which
right.
used to have boobs in it as well.
Boobs.
Yeah, and I've probably seen John. I've probably seen Barry Norman saying it was shite on the telly.
Right.
Yeah, because he always said horror.
He hated horror films.
Did
yeah.
you find it scary? When
yeah,
you
I mean, I really love this film. I really rate it. I mean, you know, I'm a Carpenter fanatic. And I love, look at that lovely long creeping on a track there. Well, he's saying, look how it's framed. Yeah, look at the lighting across the whole scene. Everything about it is fantastic. And then it just comes in and then moves around. Probably shot by Dean Cundey, I would have imagined. Exactly.
How dare you?
Thank you.
I just love it. And yeah, I think this is actually one of his creepier films, oddly enough. As I say, it's got all these sort of phobias like Assault on Precinct 13 and the Stone Tape. But I also think it's probably the closest to the fog as being the one that scares me. Halloween doesn't scare me.
Why?
I don't want to get scared by killers.
Mm.
I think you have to try and watch Halloween with fresh eyes and remember that nobody had
done
that.
Well, I was
going to
say that because nobody, you only know retrospectively that it's supernatural.
Yeah.
Nobody had done what, though? What do you mean?
That
well, in Halloween, Michael Myers is just an escaped maniac.
Right.
It's only in subsequent Halloween films that he becomes this supernatural force.
Right, okay.
So at the time when you watch it, it's just a crazy bastard in a, you know, a William Shatner mask.
Right.
And what I mean is that, you know, there were so many stabby killer films around that time, but Halloween really kind of wrote the rules for them. It's so brilliantly made. And he does a really interesting thing in Halloween if you watch it, because these days all films go... wah! And jump in your face.
Yeah, yeah. There's
the scariest bits of Halloween are the wide,
really
wide-angle shots from across the street and walking across the street towards it. And that's that relentlessness. It's
absolutely. It's the idea that there's no escape.
Yeah,
that freaks you. That's what freaks me out, because Halloween doesn't scare me really at all.
No,
because,
me neither.
Because again, it's just a personal thing. Because he's after her.
Yeah.
So,
whereas the fog scares me because
the fog
it's a
scares
fog,
me a bit more.
You know,
I'm not terribly scared of the fog,
the fog.
But I find it nicely atmospheric and creepy. I find it very creepy,
yeah.
But it doesn't really scare me very much, except for the bits in the boat. But the again, that because that's random. It's just you happen to be in the town. But this, fuck man.
Yeah,
I think it's a long time
to one of his spookiest films.
So, what is the scariest film you've seen then, Craig?
I would never show Sal in this. She would never sleep again.
And probably the film that puts the shitters up me most, as I was saying earlier, I'm actually, my friend Dan tomorrow at the Folk Horror thing, has picked me up the new Blu-ray release of The Haunting, the Robert Wise one from 1960. Okay. That's not my favourite horror film, but it is, I think, the one that creeps me out most, because it's a pure haunting by sound and noise, and I find the supernatural scarier and ghost scarier than anything else.
Right. What happened to Robert Wise, man?
Yeah, great. Well, he's telling me fucking Star Trek.
No, that's what I mean. They just
motion
went
picture.
Fucking nuts at the end.
Yeah,
of it.
He went crazy with Star Trek, didn't he? Too much budget and too much time, and Gene Roddenberry hanging
it's
over
like,
the shoulder.
I can't remember who was it. It was like, yeah, let's not make like Star Wars has been out. Let's not make that.
No, I know. Yeah,
let's have a 7-minute scene of somebody trying to push a button.
Yeah,
it's like it's fucking Solaris all of a sudden.
Yeah, but without the sort of intellectual stuff that makes that interesting. Same with, you know, nor is it like 2001, which I know you're not a fan of, but you can kind of see what he's trying to do with it, and it's very different. This is meant to be a Star Trek film.
Yeah.
And it takes 10 minutes for it to fucking leave dock.
No, absolutely.
Or for him to get up to the dock in his...
And nothing happens in Star Trek the motion
But it's
picture.
Got a brilliant idea.
No, it's a good idea. But
it's a great
but
idea.
It's a good idea for an episode.
Yeah.
Because all that happens is... there's the ship. They get on the ship. They go up the road. They have to go. They pick up Spock. You've got to go and see Voyager. Oh, look, it's a robot. Oh, it's Voyager. That's that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all that happens in the film.
Yeah.
And they're actually, with the exception of that actually quite weird subplot with Deckard and the baldy lassie, which is really weird, actually, when you think about it. Nothing else.
She's dead.
There is no other... because she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other
subplot. She's dead in real life as well.
Oh, well, at least we can't kill her.
And the guy that played Deckard...
he did done for Beeston,
done to be a pedo, yeah.
But, but what I mean is, in the film, she dies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and it's like...
But he still hangs out with her and wants to touch
and
her.
And she's still there, and nobody seems to mention the fact that... No, remember her Lieutenant Ailea? She used to be in the fucking Christmas club. She's fucking dead. Nobody seems to
see she's still alive. Get her fucking lottery money out of her.
I know. Who wants a space on the lottery syndicate? Nobody says a fucking word.
So what's the scariest film you've seen then?
I probably really couldn't answer that. Because I think things like that really depend on what your mood is at the time and where you are and what age you are and all that sort of thing. The newest film that scared me most recently is probably Babadook.
Yeah, that's scary.
Okay.
That scared me.
Yeah.
Properly scared me.
There's a
didn't help. I watched them all.
There's a film. I'm trying to. Is it called VHS or something like that, or Rec or something? It's a Spanish film about this in a block of flats.
Yeah, it's Rec.
Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah,
scared me.
that is a good film. Yeah.
But the sequel's rubbish. But the original film. Have you seen that film?
No,
that's pretty good.
Really scary.
Horror's not my thing. I mean, I don't decry it, but I don't seek it out.
The other one scares me a lot is The Innocents, which is from the same sort of time as The Haunting.
Oh, the film that probably scared me the most when I first saw it was American Werewolf in London.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because I nearly fucking died watching it.
Yeah.
When the zombie stormtroopers
busted. Yeah, that scared me.
I literally nearly died. I was so scared. I was like climbing the wall.
We've not done one for that. We should do something. Because I still,
no,
the time I have been on the tube late at night, and you think about the scene.
The last day I was in London, I exactly what I thought.
And that's a good film fact. The guy in the tube in American Wolf in London that it kills, remember?
Mm-hmm.
He is Bib Fortuna in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, no Jabba no Bada. Oh,
Jabba no Bada.
Not Tom Baker then, as I thought when I first saw Return of the Jedi.
I can understand why you thought that, yeah.
So what's happening this
week? I beg your pardon.
Well, he's coming down here to find out what's happening because a strange reading.
She's already
the one that got spooged.
She's had a face full of it already.
Okay, he's going to die, this guy.
How did you think that? There he goes. Down you go. But that doesn't mean he's finished in the film, Jack.
The traditional.
He's not finished. He's not finished.
Traditional line when someone dies badly from us. Yeah, you can't.
So
it's a nice card he's got.
So they do a lot of sort of sitting around theorising what the
yeah, but that's what's good about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what's Nigel Neill.
Yeah, which makes it like a Nigel Neill. See, he's talking about every particle is an antiparticle.
But what I like about
it's got a nice wooden ruler there. Oof.
What's good about the exposition in this? I mean, I am one of the very few people who like a lot of exposition in the film. Mm. It's done well. But what I like in this particularly is it's not like a lot of films get wrong, which is they do a big chunk of exposition at the start and then just let it all run.
Yes.
They update it. It updates as it goes, and they're trying to understand what's going on. Then that means it helps you, Jack. You, the viewer.
I need
what's
that.
The best exposition scene in a film ever?
Oh, wow. That's a very good question. Oh. Best
shall
exposition?
I throw one in?
Yeah, go on.
You can call me X.
From JFK,
which is about 12 minutes long.
Yeah.
And
he tells them all sorts of stuff.
I mean, the thing about JFK is almost every single frame of it is utter horse shit, but it is a brilliant film to watch. I never liked it when I saw it at the cinema, and I always thought it was garbage, and I was really dismissive of it until about 1999 when our relationship had ended, and I sort of grabbed some
did you start watching it on a loop
that and then the right stuff, and you know you go through a period where I did it a couple of years ago with Zodiac where I'll just keep watching a film over and over and over again and I watched JFK fucking tons of times that period, and now I love it. It's on the Hospital Redux, so you can watch it quite regularly.
You wonder why they don't, well, now that they're this far out, they just don't fuck off. And may I point out that is the most 80s look in the world.
The guy on the left with the long hair and the...
With the hair, the beard.
He could do with Ronnie.
You know what he looks like? You know, he actually looks like a character in the most hateful TV series ever made.
Which is?
30-something.
Doesn't that like something to
really so that ginger guy.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
What a fucking travesty of a programme.
Come on, then. You need to talk about what...
No, I don't. That's all that needs to be said about it. Everybody in it was a cunt and they should all have died.
Did you like
that? There should have been... It should have got to a certain point and there should have been like an Emmerdale-style plane crash.
Yes, it's you coming to attack him for being 30-something.
Yeah. Why did you hate so much?
Oh, they were all...
But you were only about 12 when that was kicking off.
I mean,
I was just about 18.
It was what... But bear in mind, there's the big tail in the living room. You're watching whatever's on.
Did your parents watch that?
Oh, yeah.
I watched it on the black and white.
We watched it every fucking week.
Did you like it?
No, we never watched it.
No, I never cared for it. I thought it was a lot of shite.
Yeah, it's dreadful. It's absolutely dreadful.
There's a link, though. There's a link.
Because
one of the characters in it... Oh, this is great, this bit. Watch this.
Oh.
Wow.
One of the characters in it...
Here comes the best scene in the film, Jack.
Her boyfriend was the
run,
guy...
Run, son!
Watch this.
Whoa,
run!
Oh, that's pretty hard, isn't it? Look.
Oh, it's fucking horrible. Take that, Wang Chung. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Oh, I forgot it wasn't Alice Cooper. I thought it was just the crazy old broad. He's not done either, by the way.
Yeah, one of the guys in 30-something, the woman's boss who she was having an affair with...
Mm.
is the guy that's the weirdo stoner in The Thing.
Oh. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Did they not used to do that thing where they were...
He was also one of the parents in Gone Girl. Have you seen Gone Girl?
Yeah,
Gone Girl's a cracking movie.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
great film. Yeah.
He was the dad. Remember the writers one there? Yeah,
they used to wear their jumpers over the shoulders.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
And the main guy in it, Elliot, was it called? He used to moan all the time about how he wasn't a writer. He worked in advertising and he wanted to work. Michael. Because it was Michael and Elliot. Because the guy that played Elliot went on to be in The West Wing.
Right. That's right.
Then there was the really thin girl who was really annoying. There was the fucking Beyond Borg guy.
Yes.
Who was a total wank. Yeah. Then there was the woman who ought to have been a lesbian but wasn't.
What?
Ellen, she was called. Oh, she was the sort of manly one.
Honestly, the
and
single
then there was
worst thing ever made
the woman
for
television. That was Hope, who was the really bonny woman that was Michael's wife. She also turned up in The West Wing.
Oh, she knew it quite well.
And I looked up about her once. She's been married like 7 times. I think that's a story.
Really?
Yeah. She must be a laugh.
Fuck. Well, she must be a laugh for a while.
Yeah.
Oh,
I like the sound of her. Then again, maybe she just keeps marrying arseholes. That's, you know.
I genuinely can't think of a programme that I hate more than 30-something.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
No, I really can't. I would rather watch, like, episodes of, you know, minor sitcoms involving...
But you love any sitcoms?
No, I don't. No, just everything about it. I hate
the thing
everything
is, when it came,
about
the fact
it. There's a whole episode about worrying about whether they give their son, whether they get their son circumcised or not.
Really? God. Whack it off.
Yeah.
And that's not
right, this is when it starts to get really interesting.
Oh, this is when
they all start having dreams, and this is the stuff that shit me up good and proper. Because it's also brilliantly shot.
It's fucking
now watch
terrifying.
This.
So hang on, is this
a There's
dream?
A voice coming across it, like a crackly voice, saying you're receiving this as a dream. We transmit from the year 19 and then it cuts out. And you see that.
Yep.
That
and they all
fucking
start,
scares me.
You wonder why. I mean, I didn't sleep for about 4
minutes.
It's quite
logical, that, isn't it?
Because you think if there was...
It's just scary.
If there was news footage of something like that happening, that's what it would look like.
Yeah.
So Signs, when we talked about that.
Yeah,
before,
well, that's what it made me think of, which I don't think is a good film. You like Signs, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like Signs. I think it's stupid, but the credit I'll give it is, as you said, the bit of the news footage where you see the alien at the party walks across.
Yes.
If that ever happens, that's how
it
looks.
Yeah, that's scared me.
And that's really good.
It's really
the rest of it.
Well, it's a good film, except the ending's absolutely shit.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Well, the
but
thing
about, until
the thing about
good.
Water makes no fucking
well,
sense.
No, but
song,
everything
that's
until
ending,
that
though.
Point
yeah.
is good.
Yeah.
But then again, I even quite like The Village.
Like
it's
oh,
a
no,
shit film.
No, I like The Village.
The That's
thing
the one
about him at that
Rose
stage,
from the trailer.
The thing about him at that stage is, even though he subsequently has made some unspeakable films until Split this year, which is really, really good, but at that stage, he's actually just a really good craftsman in film. You know,
yes.
he shoots
yeah,
well,
yes,
he sets
does,
stuff
yeah.
up, he gives it time.
Yes, that's right.
So everything's actually really nicely made, and I quite like that about him. He is a dick.
But
though.
Which one's get
he
that fucking... Is it not Signs that's get problem. That... Can I look at the words out? Where he has the cameo where he's in the cash or something.
Yeah, he always
oh,
has himself in cameos.
Yes, he always has cameos.
Well, he has the cameo when he's outside the house and he says, I've locked one of them in the cupboard and he drives off. That's quite good.
Yeah, I'm not selling it.
No, I don't need to sell it to you. I ain't selling anything, honey.
You're not changing my mind.
Look.
Oh, look at this, though.
Yeah, that's horrible.
That's quite horrible.
And also the fact that it's quite odd to work out what the shape of it is.
Yeah.
We've got a wall, having a wee dance. I like when he wakes up here and Pleasant says to him, what were you dreaming
well,
about?
Yeah.
You do not rule my unconscious. All right, calm down, mate.
Yeah, I'm only asking you. I'm not going to try to tell you what you're dreaming
about. All right, easy spuds.
Yeah.
Easy.
You had a dream in which you were wanking your dad, didn't you? That's what's happened to you.
Oh, mate, anyway, it's a nice device.
Yeah, it's a nice device.
Particularly
a
clever
what the
device.
Fuck is this?
Yeah.
And that was the thing that John sold me on. He said, "There's this really, really creepy thing in it about a dream."
But what's great about it, as you would discover, is the payoff, which is particularly
yeah.
brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
The payoff
like
is
film.
Fantastic. Great. It's a good film. Yeah. Should we watch it sometime with the sound up?
Yeah. We should
do.
Anyway,
this is nice. This is before anybody knew what lesbians were.
Wow. She looks a bit like Posh Spice.
That's not Posh Spice. No, she's never done that. That's Sporty Spice.
Who was your favourite Spice Girl?
I don't care about the Spice Girls.
I think now it's Sporty Spice.
I've interviewed.
She's quite a nice woman.
I've interviewed Emma Bunton.
I bet she was rubbish.
She was good.
She was.
Sporty Spice came into the hospital one day.
And people said she was really lovely. She was a really nice woman.
And in the hospital the other day was Susie Bake.
Yeah.
And the Osmonds for some reason.
Yeah.
All the stars come out to shine at the hospital. Okay. Anyway, here we are.
Breezy.
You think nobody at any point says, let's just take this thing, right? And they drop it in the fucking ocean. Forget about it.
Yeah. Asshole-ish.
Who lights all these candles, by the way?
Mm.
Mr. Bennett!
Hey, call back!
The hero doesn't do very much in this.
He's not really a hero, though, is he?
Well, but he's the focus.
Yeah.
Who is the hero, Craig, in this?
Simon.
Sure, like,
apart from Mankind.
It probably turns out to be Donna Pleasance in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I think he's meant to be the lassie.
And the woman,
yeah.
Ultimately, she does.
Yeah.
This woman.
Yeah. Because ultimately, the women are always the heroes, Jack.
Not in a lot of the films I watch, man.
The best keep out the way of all that business.
Why are they all so kind of chilled out about it here?
Because they don't know. They're rational scientists.
But bear in mind, a lot of them, it's a big building. Some of them being outside.
They don't all know what's going down, man. They don't realise that Alice Cooper is poison.
They don't know that cunt from 30-somethings outside being stabbed to death with pink and shears.
You do know that isn't actually the guy from 30.
No, but I'm just sticking to that. I'm fixing it.
Yes.
Everybody wine jumping tonight.
Yeah, it finally stopped hurting and now it looks like something out of a fucking tatty gothic shop in the high street. Yeah, that's fine. You're lucky it's not a Jack Skellington.
That's a nice corridor, that, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, I like sort of institutional buildings like that.
So this film didn't do so well?
Not really, no. Yeah. It's got a good reputation, though.
Uh-huh.
But I wonder if it's one of those...
Yeah.
I wonder if it's one of those things where the problem was not the reaction or the audience reaction. It probably just didn't get much of a distribution.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
It was... quite a small, I think it was a fairly small company at the time.
A lot of people, and I don't know how the film business worked particularly, but I know as much to know that the trick is not the film, it's getting the distribution.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people now will watch films on film channels, on DVD or whatever, and they're great films. And you think, why is this not a bigger hit? Why was this not a bigger hit? Well, because of whatever the politics were at the time, mm-hmm. or the money or the fund. It just didn't get distributed very much, or it wasn't publicised. Mm-hmm.
The other thing he said in that interview a couple of weeks ago, Carpenter, was that...
This is creepy as fuck as well.
Yeah. Was that he couldn't have the career now that he had then.
Oh, no, absolutely.
There's absolutely no way,
because
it was always small independent production and distributor companies that made it. And he was able to sort of build film by film from a student film that Dark Star started off as, which eventually got... Yeah, she's really fucking creepy, isn't she?
It's
got real work ethic, those people.
Yeah, for sure.
Mum will fucking batter her if she doesn't get 5 E's.
Your doctor yet?
That's a Family Guy, isn't it?
Come back with your doctor.
Yeah. Look at this.
You will not be saved
by
the god.
We don't need subtitles
for
that bit.
In fact,
comma.
The subtitles you've got, I've given them, I'll give the ghost away there.
Yeah.
It's weird that, though, isn't it? That line, you will not be saved by the god plutonium. That dates it a bit.
A wee bit, yeah.
Why? What do you mean? What's that?
Well,
it was the nuclear age, wasn't it?
87's high.
Oh, I see.
High point. Cold War paranoia.
Should we do an episode of Edge of Darkness for a commentary sometime?
Oh, yeah. I'm more than happy to do that.
Yeah.
I like Edge of Darkness.
That guy on the left's got hair like
me. I was going to say, he's like particularly haggard compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
He's also looking a lot better than everybody else.
He's fucking raging they've got the part in the X-Files.
Oh no.
He goes really weird, actually.
Yeah,
he does all that.
Yeah. And he does the giggling and laughing and all that.
Yeah. Now, have either of you two watched the new Star Trek series?
No. I wonder what that would sound like if it was played by a jazz band.
My understanding of it from somebody who's seen the first few episodes is that episode 1 and 2 are alright.
I liked episode 1.
But episode 3 kicks off and is excellent.
Okay.
So I'm told.
I've seen the first 4 episodes. It's pretty good.
Have you watched Lore?
Lore than what?
Lore.
No, what's that?
It's based on this podcast. It's an Amazon series.
No, what's it? What's it about?
It's about the stories behind things, such as...
Oh, right, okay. I've listened to the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right, this
they've made a series, a sort of drama documentary. Oh, right. So it's a bit like Strange But True, but for millennials.
Can we listen, fucking Martin Daniels. We've got the actual...
Martin Daniels, we've got the
explanation of the wee dream now.
I was just about to say something really controversial as well.
Oh, that's all right.
We're going to say Martin Daniels was a better than Paul.
No, I wasn't going to say that. I'd never say that.
Would you say that?
Yes.
You sure you would have said that?
Tachyon is a particle that travels faster than light.
So they beamed the message back from a future point.
Yeah.
Wow.
The thing that is coming over as a dream is a message beamed from the future.
Oh, I see.
What were you going to say about Martin Daniels? Is it actionable?
He was the one good thing about the revamped Game for Laugh lineup.
Oh yeah, no, I would agree. Well, there's hardly any argument about that.
Lee Peck, Rusty Lee, and Debbie Ricks.
Yeah, I remember her being in it, but she was kind of rubbish. They obviously thought we'll get a sort
she
of
was like prim, the new Sarah Kennedy.
Yeah, we'll get a prim posh girl, but they didn't realise that what was good about Sarah Kennedy is that she was a colossal fucking party monster, and you didn't have to scratch very far to find that.
Yes,
as we famously know, when she went on radio and said vaguely racist shit,
had the breakdown on that.
Yeah.
Did she not go on radio?
She had a Don Chorus kind of program on radio too, which I used to listen to sometimes when I'd like insomnia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a student, hangover actually.
Yeah,
and it was like the Daily Mail on radio.
Yeah,
then some nights a little fruitier than others.
Yeah, you'd hear the.
Yeah. But I have no idea what Lee Peck ever went on to do.
I don't even remember who Lee Peck was.
He was like their sort of Henry Kelly.
Yeah.
He was no good. But Martin Daniels was good.
I saw Henry Kelly once standing in the street in London. It was at my friend's stag weekend actually, and we were in a fucking terrible state drinking chocolate milk walking down Charing Cross Road. And in a hot day as well.
Mm.
Milk was a bad idea.
Mm.
And there we were. Watch. Here's the best fight. This is the best scene in the film.
Yep.
Oh, right. I can't look forward to this. Yeah. Your man from 30-something.
Yeah, no, keep your eyes on the screen.
Oh, I'm watching it.
You think he's about to sing the theme from St. Elmo's Fire? Which I like, by the way.
It is a good song, yeah.
Have a wee cuddle. I've got a message for you. You're not going to like it, baby.
Are you all right?
His chest.
Beasties.
He's got like bugs and shit all
Beastie.
Over.
Oh no, that's not the worst of it, mate.
Oh, look at this.
Pray for death. I told you wouldn't like it. What I like their it? Now watch for their reaction. Oh no.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Are you alright?
Can we get the end of the
watch, Luke.
Whoa. He's got all sorts of bugs. Oh, his trousers are going to fall down.
No, look.
He's all bug. That's all he is.
He's just bug.
That's all he got. Wow. That's all you got.
That's all you got.
Sir Henry Kelly.
Aye, so I was walking down the road in a right bad way, and there was Henry Kelly.
Milk yogurt, aye. Chocolate yogurt everywhere.
Aye. And there's Henry Kelly standing there, having just done his show in Capital or Classic or whatever.
Classic, yeah.
And it's like about sort of like, Beethoven. It must have been around 30 degrees, it was the summer.
Sorry, did they not have him singing Amazing Grace here?
I think so.
It's a wee bit. So go on.
He looks fucking amazing. He was like immaculate in a light grey suit
with
a, sort of. Pale pink and cucumber tie.
Was he wearing a tie with stripes that looked like a couch?
No, I think it was probably his Garrick tie, the sort of.
Was he wearing a
hat? Was it the cucumber and salmon they call it?
Yeah. Did he have a hat?
No, he just looked.
Oh, no!
There you go.
Is he still on Classic FM?
Cut his own throat.
No idea.
Down you go.
I'm one of the
no, did we not get canned from
today?
I don't know the facts.
For
gold.
Yes. That was the trip in which I got to see the brilliant thing. But we're standing outside Downing Street, just walking past, and you sort of, you know, look down to see what's happening. Yeah. At which point, now my friend Neil and I are both big fans of Jaws.
Okay.
And as we're walking past, the reporter Harry Smith of ITN News, a Scottish guy, reporter many years ago, was walking by, and like many of these badgers down south, he was wearing like a linen jacket and a Panama hat. Awesome. And as he walked back, I said, but too loudly, That's some bad hat, Harry. Which Neil spurted out his chocolate milk,
chocolate yogurt.
And the guy turned around and shot me a fucking look like you wouldn't believe. But how often do you get the chance to
you
use a line
often
like
get
that?
The chance
no.
to use that.
It's like my pal Gordon, who's desperate to use his bastardisation of the Exorcist line to see your mother cock snooks in Hull.
So anyway, the local crazies have battered up the church.
Wow.
There's no way out.
I think I might be wrong about all these names. Kelly not being a well-known surname. Or
Henry
indeed
Kelly.
Mullins.
Henry Kelly.
Are the others called Beadle?
Yes, Peck.
Kennedy.
Kennedy.
For the real hardcore
right.
aficionados.
There it is. I don't like that stuff on the top of it.
Well, there's a bit earlier on as well that we missed.
This is good.
It says it's got a very intricate locking mechanism, but it locks from the inside.
Yeah.
Which just make you wonder why he doesn't just
get out.
Open it up.
Well, that stuff that's swirling around him is what's keeping him.
Yep.
And that's a nice effect as well, the sort of drip up the way to the ceiling. The fairy liquid.
I wonder how they possibly.
Yeah, I was going to say, what had they done there?
How do you do things like
that? It's amazing.
Was
it air?
I think it's CGI.
Is it
early CGI?
Yeah.
I don't know. We should ask Lionel Richie. He knows how to do it. As he demonstrated in the video
for.
Hello. No, dancing on the ceiling.
My sister wrote to Jim Will Fix It to ask if she could walk on the ceiling.
Did she really?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he help her?
No.
Narrow escape.
No.
Not as good as sure I've said in a previous commentary as our programme pitch with the dancing lessons led by. No, it's a home improvement show with former Celtic manager Wim Jansen in the ceiling. Only bettered by the country music antiques crossover Johnny Cash in the Attic.
Martin and I wanted to do the show about testing his contention that no shop is allowed to refuse you the right to use the toilet, so we wanted to call it Touching Cloth with Billy Connolly, because he wanted to have a celebrity guest on it.
It's one of those things people say.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a Scottish law. It's not.
So you can refuse someone.
Yeah, you
say,
no, you can't use the toilet. You've just wandered in off the street.
It's like that great bit in The Office when he's saying, you know, the stamp is legal tender. You can pay for them.
You can pay your bus fares with it.
He says, good luck.
Good luck with that. Imagine going on to a bus and say, right, there's two first class. Take us up the road. Fuck off, mate.
Now, we should mention, of course.
Of course, we'll get a call from fucking Robin Harper. Ross Harper. No, sorry, that is an ancient Scots law or somebody like that.
Aye.
Mr. Tickle.
Here he comes in. Hello, Mr. Tickle.
What do we have to mention?
In the last.
It's really fucking creepy.
This is the reason that funny smile.
And he's got a broken neck as well.
In the last podcast we did, which was Tales from the Crypt, which went really well.
Yeah, just the other day.
Yeah, and that was the second one that we recorded, and which went out second. Yeah.
Second of three, this is third of three.
Yeah. We should mention that, oh my god, the curse has struck again.
Yeah,
because Roy Dutrice died.
The pyromancer.
Yes, he did.
Then see, the mistake you made there was getting me to explain who he was.
Yeah,
because if we'd left him anonymous enough,
he'd have been all right.
He'd still be all right today.
That's all about that.
See,
also Sultan, what it was called,
Michelle
the dog
is
well.
Devastated.
Yeah. I think it is you who kills them.
Great. Yeah, thanks for that.
I think it's you.
It is me that kills them. I think I'm about to fucking die here.
Can
I get that pen?
You know what's interesting about this? Is there's a sudden step change.
Uh-huh.
Where he ends up stuck in that cupboard. and they're all sitting outside. Uh-huh. So there's not all the action has been sort of moving forward, and then it sort of stops.
Yeah.
While things happen, and it's always struck me as like, I wonder if they were thought, actually, we're about 20 minutes short.
We better make some other shit happen.
We may get some more shit to happen in the middle. We need a middle eight.
Or is this not the low point before you kick into the third, when it gets even nastier?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. But it's like there's stuff been happening, and things are going on outside, people are going outside and all that. And then suddenly everybody stands, and then they all just spend the night looking at each other through a window while they try and cut through the wall.
New boy shits himself. Oh, that's nasty.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That's a nasty swelling, sweetheart. What a vinegar rag on.
So he's not been done yet.
No. But he's stuck in a cupboard in that room.
Right, okay.
On the wrong side of the door is on the wrong side of that.
And he's alright. Thing.
Well, he's alright. He's up against the boiler.
Yeah.
Nice and warm.
Sweet twisty wee dog. At least I'm warm. Oh, he's getting up.
He's Poundland meatloaf.
Look, I'm not dead. Hurry!
Come on, David. Okay.
They do all manage to convey a sort of sense of weirdness quite well. Yeah. With no help. Mm. They have no prosthetics or makeup or anything.
As you see, look at that, it's right in the city.
Mm. Mm. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, me too. It's all going about in the middle of the city with shit going on.
This is a weird thing as well, where one of them suddenly decides to escape when patently they can't escape.
Yeah.
Well, this is why I think there might just be a wee bit of...
He's sort of lost the plot a wee bit at this point.
There'd been a bit of script doctoring by Phil Space.
It pays off brilliantly. Yes. So, I mean, it's pure assault on Precinct 13.
Mm. Wow, look at this.
But you see, the thing that is the creepy thing for me is, like you say, it's in the city and all that, but there's people still going by, cars. It's like, if I could just get over there, I would be fine.
Yeah. That's what it's like in my life. I could just get out of here.
This is my life. Can I point out?
Uh-huh. But I don't know, is this going to be something else really bad that you're going to say?
Yeah. An advert that I've seen that I thought all the way through it must have been a joke until I got to the end and then realised it was serious.
Go on.
Which is an album of like classic standards and show tunes by Jason Manford.
Yes, no, he has. Yeah, he's turned into a musical star.
What?
Who's he again? Is he the guy that...
Who's the guy in the one show who then got the sack?
The Sexy Texty.
Yeah.
Sexy
Texty. He's a presenter on Absolute Radio.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, is he?
He's a singer now, is he?
He texted him.
What, like, and said, "Hiya, Jason, are we meeting up for a coffee?" He wrote back and said, "Oh, big Bobby, here's a photograph from a Bobby."
I think she did get, like, peripherally involved in Jason. Yes, but no, he has done an album.
Yes, but
it's
no.
Extraordinary.
But then so is Nick Knowles. He's got an album.
What?
I was in a hotel once.
Knowles has got an album out.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
Has the world gone mad?
It's called Cockney Geezer. Call of a Duck. What does that mean?
Because the...
That's all right.
Because it's extremely similar to like the David Brent type of stuff.
I was in a hotel one night with La Famille in Durham, and Nick Knowles was there.
Was he?
Durham. He was there. They must have been filming whatever fucking shit program he makes.
DIY SOS.
That fucking thing. Yeah, there was a crew with him and all that.
He's
so.
A fucking terrible. But do you know the thing?
But
is,
I didn't know his name. I just said that's not worth it.
I like the idea of DIY. I would like to like DIY SOS.
Uh-huh.
You know, because they did that one where I tuned in and it was like two guys who were a couple and they adopted all these kids and one of them was had cerebral palsy or something in a wheelchair and all that sort of thing. One had Down syndrome. Uh-huh. And they had been living in this
like
house.
Is that like a programme format? Cerebral palsy in a wheelchair.
That's terrible.
I know.
And
it must be awful.
So the idea was to do up the house. But they built them a house.
Wow.
So they got up, they had this plot of land and they built a house and it had sensory rooms and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was fabulous. And you know, and they all did it all in like 3 days and all the work he's chipped in. I mean, it was just great. I was a fucking mess at the end of it. So I would really like to like it. But I cannot like it with Noel Nix presenting it.
Noel Nix.
Because he's a terrible, terrible presenter.
Yeah.
He was also on Celebrity Fame Academy. And if you
get
remember,
ready to pull me back, he just told to be
yeah,
here.
And this is really weird. This.
So he, so Richard.
I mean, they're all. Where does he go? Think he's going to go?
Oh, I see.
Why didn't he just try and jump over that fence?
Yeah.
So
now he's going
there.
All right, fuckers. What's the game here?
He's quite a big guy, though. You think he'd be able to batter his way through that? Although they're all possessed.
Yeah, he's trying to get back in there. Now
he's trying to get in, but he
no shot. So when Nick Knowles was on 13,
nice shot. It's fucking John Carpenter and Dean Cundey, mate.
When
it's
lucky
none of them
on,
think to do it like a human crazy triangle. Mm. Get up that window.
So the Fame Academy, he got a bad critique from, is it Richard Parks?
That's not
and then after the show,
people are.
You know who Richard Parks is?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Who is
Radio
he?
Radio Clyde.
Yeah.
No, Richard Parks.
Don't know.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, after the show, they had to stop Noel Nix from getting into dressing room to have a fight with him because he was sorry.
You sure that's what he was after?
But he does, he's the epitome of that sort of presentation style where it's all throwaway, sideways remarks, you know, like it's all very conversational, and but that's not actually presenting.
No.
Oh, it just drives me up the wall. But they fucking
tells
love
him. Racist joke, yeah.
They do, yeah. Noel Nix does a lot of that.
Yes, he does.
don't the ladies of a certain age like Noel Nix, as you call them?
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah, they do.
He's quite a comely fellow,
isn't
he?
He's a big lad, you know.
He's not the good guy.
And things like that.
But he's not the good guy.
We're using your brain as a receiver.
Right.
Conscious neural.
We're trying to use your brain. We're trying to get into Jack Kibblewhite's brain. But it's
oh
full
man,
of shit.
It's so creepy that.
It's full of weird shit. About fucking Doctor Who lines.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Do you know who's had
dolls,
the second most lines in the history of Doctor Who?
Cupboards full of mangled
dolls. Was it like Ian or something like that?
No, it's not. Ian's number. I think Ian was about number four.
Right.
It's Clara. Not interesting.
Well, actually, that
was
no,
very
that
talkative.
That makes a lot of sense actually, because late period Clara started to really got on my nerves by talking all the time.
Yeah.
And she must have said the word doctor more than anybody in history.
Mm-hmm.
And that even like people who work with doctors.
Uh-huh. And did
I
you,
can't remember
like
what
us,
the story was. A bit really complicated, obviously, she was, what she was doing, where she was. I don't
know.
Yeah,
you,
I think it lost it a wee
no
bit
idea.
In the middle of it. It pulled it back.
I mostly don't know what goes on in Doctor Who these days. I just get and watch it and say, that's fine.
Can I tell you another fact I discovered, which I think this is entirely. I'm breaking this.
About,
it's a new fact.
We're trying to tell you about,
you ready? Shall
about
I,
Satan.
Susan.
Stop talking about Doctor Who.
2.2% of
weirdo.
Her dialogue is saying the words grandfather. They are.
Mm.
Are you amazed
you're
by that?
How on earth have you managed to get Judy without being severely punched? I mean, you look like the Reverend Richard Coles. And
that's
you sit there talking about Doctor Who.
Don't
take your glasses off.
Back at the plot.
Don't take your glasses off.
Back at the plot. They've all started getting very excited about this giant mirror.
Oh yeah, okay.
Mirror.
Uh-huh.
Oh, she hasn't done the thing yet with the makeup mirror, has she?
Mm.
And you might think, wow, what about the mirror? What's going on?
Oh, so he's still stuck in that room?
He's still stuck in the room, yeah. Because they're trying to dig from the other side.
Okay.
She's ingested all the sort of fluid.
All the goo.
Has she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's sort of, you know, it was building up as if she was bringing, but then it settled into her.
And then her skin's all changed and she's sort of
She's going to turn into the Prince Darkness, isn't she?
That's a good, that's a good shot of the building.
Not necessarily, Jack, not necessarily.
That's a good shot of the building, just a few humans talking about it.
Mm. Oh, sort of starting to pump it again.
Look at that.
Has he got a calculator watch?
No,
on?
He's not. He's got an iPhone watch from
that's
the future.
It's a
sent by on Tachyons.
He's got a calculator watch.
Yeah, but you see, he has these stupid iPhones. You can't play fucking golf games on like that.
No.
Watch. Graham Page had it at my school.
Yeah, yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
That's a wee game.
I had a pack.
I love a wee golf game on a computer.
Mm. Do you?
Yeah, are there any apps for that? I like a golf game.
I'm sure there's plenty.
Yeah. Find out from the way. You know about the techie stuff. Here's the thing.
That's very atmospheric. I like that.
I used to play one of those games.
Sorry, can we just start one more time? That's really good.
When my mate had one on his PC.
Thank you.
Neil again. Right, we used to play this game. I can't remember which one. It was one of the golf games, the Pro Slip, Pro Golf, Pro whatever. and you used to play, and you used to design your own men, and mine had a sort of funny baldy head and a black beard, so we called him Craig the Master. And his brilliant thing was, if he ever did a brilliant putt, he would turn him in and go like this. It was great. But you go, does that get me any? No, Chris is better.
Yeah, he's better. That's really good. What's that?
That was a wee bird flying by.
Okay, that's nice.
I would say to you, I'd ask you, does that buy me any credibility as a proper Doctor Who fan?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, come on. Come on. No. Throw me a fucking bone here.
I'd love to, but it's just
a throw me a fucking bone. Give a man something to grasp onto.
Oof.
Steady.
Donald's keeping myself busy. He's never read this before.
No, this is fucking
brilliant.
What's
this about?
Have you read this mad shit?
I mean, the main character.
There's a talking snake in this.
The main character disappears halfway through.
I bet they all just talk about him. Where did he go? Who knows?
I've been waiting it though. This guy Noah. You want to get Russell Crowe playing him?
He's got two of everything. That guy.
Have we talked about that?
Noah, it's an extraordinary film.
I still don't know whether I liked it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It is one of the most singular films I've ever seen.
For that, I applaud it. I saw it at the cinema.
When?
Did you not see it like twice or something?
No, I just went the once to see it, but I've seen it on DVD since then.
Yeah, I saw it on the.
It's an incredible film.
Is it?
It's an extraordinary film.
Because I still don't know what I think about it.
Right.
I don't know.
Batshit crazy.
I don't know who it's for. I don't know why
it
was
made. A fortune.
Did it?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're meant to take from it. Mm-hmm. I still don't know if it's good or bad.
Yeah.
It's insane. Insane film. Yeah. When was it from?
Yeah.
Where is it set?
It's not set in like a biblical, it's set in a sort of medieval feudal society.
Yeah, that's but weird. With fucking...
But with
giant
rock monsters.
Wow.
And exploding grenade things.
Yeah.
It's fucking mental.
And the baddies played by that unspeakable cunt, what's his name?
Oh, it's Ray Winston.
Yeah.
Dreadful. Taking time out from getting people to play bingo online.
Yeah, absolutely.
And drink.
Stand up fella.
No, there's a whole bit where it sort of postulates this idea that prior to the deluge, there were these huge advanced civilizations.
Right.
And then they were like overthrown by barbarians for some reason. And there were still angels walking on Earth. But because they're on Earth, they weren't allowed to escape back to heaven, so they're like stuck in rock. Mm. I mean, it's demented. And then it's like, yeah, I'll just start building a boat.
Then that kicks off.
With my son Ham.
It gets into lots of details about how shite life must be on the boat.
Yeah.
Then Ray Winston, who's stowed away on it. Well, you see everyone dying around him and the screams of the dead.
Yeah, that's right.
Of the drowned.
They're all trying to go
on. Then he tries to kill the family and turn them against each other.
No, but
they get past that. And then you've got the last 40 minutes.
No, but there's the fabulous bit first, which is almost like a punchline for shit comedy routines. Where he's on the boat but manages to get the son on his side.
Hi.
So he starts eating some of the animals on the boat.
That's right.
So it's like, you know, like crap comedy routines about what happened to the, you know, the three-headed octoplats.
Yes.
Well, it's Ray Winston ate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fucking demented. And all of the animals are asleep because they have this stuff that they waft over them. So they don't fight them
and kill them.
And then, like you say, there's
Then it sort of shipwrecks. And then there's about a last half hour, which is basically Russell Crowe roaring about naked on a beach drunk.
Yeah.
With his arse hanging out and a big beard.
Wow.
Until he asks his family to forgive him and they all make up at the end. It's genuinely
fucking
mental.
Does he not kill somebody?
Oh, something like that.
He kills his wife. Brother,
no,
son,
somebody.
How
something.
Long ago was this film out?
About 3 years ago.
Wow.
It's the guy that just made this one, Mother, recently.
I would
with Jennifer Lawrence, which is
the worst film
ever
made.
Terrible. Well, except for the one that came out this week, The Snowman, is apparently barking.
Oh, here we go.
Oh yes, they're trying to make snowmen
kill the.
No, it's not those kinds of snowmen.
He's got a broken
neck. He's the name of a killer,
and they're all dead.
Whoa! Oh, yeah. He's pissed on his face.
Yeah.
The snowman I hate already because it's endless YouTube adverts.
Yeah, well, apparently it's
get,
dreadful.
And it's got Fassbender in it.
Well, it has this apparently, Val Kilmer's in it.
Doing a bit anemic.
Is he? Gosh, Val Kilmer.
Exactly. Really? He's not well, apparently he has cancer.
Does he?
And he's got like a throat thing in. Oh, so he's in the film just standing there. And apparently the way around this...
Is he the... I'm not being facetious. Is he the snowman?
I have no idea. I think he's a policeman. He's in flashback, I think.
All right, okay.
And then the camera apparently goes round the back of him so he can't speak. And then someone else is clearly voicing his
name. Oh, that's like they did with Jack Hawkins.
Yeah.
And like,
except
then
they got Charles Grey to do it. And so it was fine. But apparently the voice sounds nothing like Val Kilmer's voice.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
And then there's all voiceover with him just looking unwell. But it's made by Thomas... Alfredson that made Tinker Tailor. It's his first film since then. Apparently, it's shocking.
Wow.
And well, the main character's called Henry Hole.
Henry Hole?
Yeah. I believe it's pronounced Hole or something.
Oh, of course
it is. Henry Hole, there is.
Yeah.
Bookie.
Yeah.
And what do you think about this new Gerard Butler film?
Oh, no, we have
Butler.
To talk about this. Because at time of recording, it opens tonight.
Yeah. Is it?
Why are we here?
We
there's
here?
Been some, yeah, there's been some Twitter chat about this, isn't it?
Geostorm. Which I've continually asserted I will be disappointed if it turns out he's not called Georgie Storm. Which looks fucking immense. Will no doubt be dreadful and demented.
Yeah.
But it does have the world's greatest Scotsman.
It does. The Butler having fun looking good. Yeah!
Got to go back up in space, sweetheart. Don't worry about it. Here we go. Yeah! Butler, it's Pete!
He has clearly reached that stage in his career when he's thinking, fuck it, there's never going to be an Oscar.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's have fun, yeah!
Let's get more money, more credits, more pussy. Or whatever.
Aye. I saw, this is important.
Yeah.
Okay.
In London has falling, he pulls a man's head off. It's fucking brilliant. No, that's just important. He does, like a guy's head comes straight off.
I know,
off,
I know, right? It's a great film.
Fucking they need.
So, she's got her fingers caught in the mirror.
She's fingering
no,
that
no,
mirror.
No, she's looking in the mirror. She can see the other side.
Yeah.
I see, okay.
So she's sort of doing that.
She's doing that, doing all that.
Is it the in-between that she's putting her fingers into, do you think?
Yeah.
It's very similar.
It's this, or as John Hurt would have said...
The space between spaces.
What?
What are you talking about? I thought you were talking about
the Ford plane. No, it's like, I love the bit. It's at the end of the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Oh,
that is
where he plays as the crazy doctor,
does.
And then at the end he's supposed to be back to normal.
Yeah.
And the first thing he says is, "No, they come from the space between spaces." Oh, well, you're back then.
Right. In a role clearly written for Sean Connery that they had to adapt at the last minute.
Aye.
When he was like, "Oh, I can't turn up, but I think I'm still in the stuff." I am Brother Henry Baskerville. I cannot come. I cannot be in your film. No, just go and sit down, Sean.
We'll be around with a wee cup of tea in a minute.
You're all right, son.
Keep that mad bitch away from me.
Yes.
Here comes my wife.
I'd love to be in your film, Steven Spielberg, but I've got to go and deliver some milk around Fountain Bridge. It's all good.
Right, now she's found the giant mirror.
Okay.
This is good.
Right, I see.
This is good shit coming.
There
you go.
Oh, up the window, yeah.
You know what we say to that person? Take that, you cunt.
So they're all standing there. She's now, what she's going to do is she's going to bring the Prince of Darkness.
Oh, I see. Stripping
and this I find creepy because
the
hand is really fucking creepy.
The big red hand.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't.
Maybe
be
things
can't
are better with the Prince of Darkness.
Watch.
How do we know it's a bad thing?
How do we know? How do
it's
we
a bad
know, Jack?
Well, I say
I
that about.
Willing to give
I always say that about what's her name in Cersei and. Game of Thrones.
Yeah, maybe
things would be
just
fucking
give her a chance.
Let her be in charge. You know where
go.
You are with her.
Oh, yeah, here we go. We're building up to the end here. Unclean spirit. I'm going to sort you. And he's like, alright, right, that'll be right.
Very old four by
two. And she's get fucked.
Cut the hands.
Cut the arm off. As if that's going to stop her.
Yeah.
And
hate crime going on.
The patriarchy at work.
Piggyback time.
Oh yeah! Don't do that too many times, mate. That's
why are you trying to strangle him when he's already had his?
Rock a boom boom. We're back. The heat's off.
Yay!
Heat's off.
A nice beheading right at the last minute.
That's not going to make any difference either.
Put it back on.
Yeah, we're back in action.
Not a problem.
The face looked very like the ones that he 2 years later used in They Live.
Hmm.
Mm. See, I've thought a lot about this film. Oh.
Did I say wabbish on the side of that?
What, wabbish?
Oh. Oh, yeah. Oof.
See that one. What's she doing?
Well, she's just cutting about.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
No, but she, this is where it all starts to go wrong for her.
Okay. Yeah, but it's brilliant. It's a great ending, this. Father comes
it's
to freedom.
It's really disturbing.
Yeah. Ending. Watch this.
Oh, no.
Oh, look at that fucking
mitt.
Oh,
I don't like that
that's
at all.
Hand, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Big hand for
also,
Satan,
the water looks the water looks really murky and mucky and yucky and picky and bummy.
Yeah.
And
well, it looks like the water in the coast of Scotland, is it?
That's true.
There's not enough jobbies in it.
Oh,
she's like, oh, it's horrible. But I like her reaction. That she's sort of scared and disgusted and terrified, you know.
But watch what she does.
Yeah.
She says, you're wearing too much leisure wear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's Tim Curry for Legend.
Here I come, I'm a sweet devil maniac.
Nope, she can't stand the idea of it. And in she goes.
She goes in as well.
Yeah. And
watch
he
what he does.
Breaks the mirror.
No.
And this is the great shot.
That's really alarming.
Stuck.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's really horrible.
Mm. Yeah.
Because she doesn't deserve it.
No, she doesn't deserve it.
Where's your God?
Can
now?
I say, that's a very Nigel Neal.
Oh, very much so, Stone tape, that ends up with.
And Quite Mass.
Beasts, even.
Yeah, Beasts, yeah.
But this is. But there's a payoff.
Okay.
There's a payoff, Jim. Right. They don't just all go home to explain why everybody's dead.
What's happened now?
This is this cutscene.
We're fine. We're fine.
Oh,
we're fine.
I don't like this.
Don't worry.
It's all pasting away.
Yeah, watch this.
All the children of the night are wandering
what
off.
Music they make. Hey, it's not long now till we tackle that, by the way.
Till we tackle what?
In January.
Yes.
The 25th anniversary.
Is it actually the 25th
of
anniversary?
Of the release of Francis Ford Dracula's Bram Stoker's Coppola.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, 25 years. Fuck, I mean, I feel old.
It's like cock time. And Rose is going to be available for that one, we're hoping.
Yep.
Because basically the film was made for her. Is this one working?
Yeah, yeah. We're
are you sure?
Sorry,
yeah,
calm down. Well,
right.
Oh, I hate
this.
This
is why you have
this
nothing to do.
This stuff is gold.
Glad you
there we go. So there we are.
So there you are. We stopped.
There you go.
Yeah, we did.
Watch
we
this.
Did.
When you say we, what you mean is the
that
nice lassie that.
Yes.
No, no, but I mean, he could have come back out again.
I stopped it. But yeah, that's true. Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
the accident.
They, something could have happened. They could have made it back out again.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be done.
But hang on, the future cut that vile serpent. But I see there, you know, you're thinking, aye, right, well, maybe you're being a wee bit hubristic now.
No, but I mean, the thing I like is that he's right. He is justified in saying that.
Is he?
It had to be done.
Had to be done.
What if she had climbed back out and it had followed with her?
Yeah, that's true. Who's saying this?
Him.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay. Got it.
He said that the smaller bits could not live without the whole.
Mm.
I feel that way.
Couldn't live without that. Okay.
She's now. Who says she's dead, mate?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Oh, hello.
Here's the
watch
payoff.
This. A great payoff.
Okay.
They're still sending the message.
This can be her, isn't it?
They're still sending the message.
Using her moustache as a
receiver. Unconscious. Okay.
You'd see it clearer than that.
This is creepy.
Yeah.
1999.
Okay. Look who it is.
It's going to be her.
Ta-ta! Hiya, pals!
For the purposes of causality revelation. Who's filming it? That's the question.
Oh, here we go.
Shaky camera.
Whoa!
Alright, oh, he's walking up. A nice bead of sweat.
Good sweat acting.
Yeah.
He's got inverted nipples.
He does have inverted nipples. Maybe that means he's a devil.
He's very smooth for somebody with a moustache like that.
Yeah, for a man in his late 40s as well.
Yeah, quite right.
How old is he in this?
Late 40s. No, I don't know. But he's
probably 30s.
He's in his 30s.
He certainly shouldn't be a grad student.
No.
Oh.
Look, he's thinking about his moustache. Look.
No, no.
This is a great ending as well. Watch this.
I like my moustache.
Oh,
he's going to touch the mirror.
Great ending.
That is a good ending.
Good director. Yeah, just cut it there.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your 24 point Carpenter font.
Yes. Yep.
Jameson Parker, that was his name.
Bing.
Bing, bom, bom,
that's a good film, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great film.
Goes a bit crazy.
Yeah. But that's good.
Do you think so? Do you think it goes crazy? Out of context, like away from where it meant to, it was meant
maybe
to be.
Maybe for about 15 minutes, maybe.
I still think that there's a big...
I think you're
not
right.
Not a massive, there's a bit of filler in there.
About 10 minutes or so. Yeah.
But
the thing is, if it turned up at 1:25, I'd still be happy with that.
No, I know, absolutely.
Most of his films, I don't think, a few of his films are more than about 1:40, Carpenter.
Oh,
we haven't talked about the concert that you thingied me for.
If we could get back to a position where films are roughly an hour and a half.
Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Anyway.
Salmon Concert.
Have we not talked about that before?
No, I don't think so. Salmon Concert, fantastic.
I had a cold.
You had a cold. So, I had a seat beside me.
So, there we are. That's Halloween.
Doc Kane. That's who you want.
So which of those three films do you care for the most, Craig?
In reverse order.
All right.
Devil Rides Out.
You're mad about rating things, aren't you? Mad for ratings.
Third, Devil Rides Out.
Uh-huh.
Two,
uh-huh.
Prince of Darkness.
I can't think what that one's going to be then.
Tales from the Crypt. Wow. Because Tales from the Crypt is in my top four or five best horror films ever.
Wow.
But I mean, that is not to diminish Prince of Darkness, which I genuinely think is a great, great movie. And I really like The Devil Rides Out as well. Mm-hmm. So we need to find something to slag off.
But you see, that I it's kind of I would use to justify my point of view, which is that I wouldn't say which is my scariest film or what film, because it's the three films that are horror films ostensibly, they're massively different films.
Mm-hmm. That was
scary. Which I would watch, I would choose to watch at different times for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wouldn't rate them like that.
That's interesting. It says the pre-recorded material was provided by CNN. They must have got camera crews, news camera crews to film
it. As it would have looked, nice.
Which of course is interesting because the cinematographer who worked with Nolan until recently, Wally Pfister, the brilliant name Wally Pfister, was a TV news cameraman back in the 80s, and remember Tanner 88 that Robert Altman made?
Mm.
He wanted news crews to film that.
Right.
So that was his first go at making a feature film.
There you go. So that's Halloween. Thanks, everybody.
That's it done for another year.
Have a happy Halloween, folks.
Yeah, that's it.
Such a thing exists.
Next year, we will scoop out the insides of Mark Miller's head and put a lantern in it and sit it outside Chris's house.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Bye.
Bye.